Hi, welcome to a new episode of Ranks with Danny Shee. Today is November 30th, and I'm continuing to stay on the CPBL bandwagon for the time being. Joining me this week is Uni Lions pitcher Tim Melville, who also pitched for the Rockies in 2019, collected a couple of base hits. So he's the first guest on the show to have base hits in the MLB. He joined me to talk about his life in Taiwan. He pitched for the Uni Lions in 2020, won the CPBL championship with the Lions, and we'll be also be breaking down a couple of games that was really important for the Lions down the stretch of the season. First of all, we'll be talking about the Lions versus Guardians game in Shengduang. That was a do or die game for both teams, and Tim Melville started that game. He pitched 9 innings, giving up just 6 hits with no earned runs. That was a shutout. That was a 123 pitch shutout that gave the Lions the win and helped the Lions to at least secure a playoff spot. On the following day, the Lions played another game with the Brothers. That was also a do or die game. And so Melville's shutout was really important in the game versus the Guardians, so the Lions was able to save pitchers for the following day. So that's the first game that we talked about quite extensively. And then the next game was Game 6 of the Taiwan series. Again, it was an elimination game for the Uni Lions. They were down 3-2, and Tim Melville was on the mound once again for the Uni Lions. He pitched 7 innings with no earned runs once again, but he did give up 1 run. That was based on a throwing error. I think in the yes, it's the third inning. He gave up 6 hits, and that's after getting the loss in Game 2, with the Brothers winning that game. He bounced back and delivered a quality outing and helped the Lions to win Game 6 and then eventually win the Taiwan series in 7 games. So we'll be talking about these two games quite extensively. These are just some of the backstory. And without further ado, here is Tim Melville. Tim Melville, the 2020 CPBL champion and former Rocky. Hi, Tim. How's it going?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for joining me. And
Thank you for
yeah,
having me. Yeah.
it's it you are the first guest ever on the show who has a base hit in the MLB. Now,
I believe I have two. Don't shortchange me. I have two.
That's two more than all the other guests combined on the show too. So, but yes, Tim Melville is a pitcher for the Uni Lions in 2020, and also pitched for the Rockies in 2019. From the reporting, from the reports coming out of Taiwan, talks are going well with Tim Melville and the Uni Lions and the other two foreign pitchers from 2020. So, hopefully we get Tim back in Taiwan next year as well. But before we get to next year, I want to talk about how you first heard about the CPBL and what were your first impressions when you came to Taiwan?
This year with the pandemic, unfortunately the minor leagues were shut down here in America. I was in camp with the Rockies, but was let go about halfway through the season, so I needed a job. And my agent came along and said, "There's an offer in Taiwan with the team Uni Lions." And I agreed and said, "Let's do this." So I flew over, did a 2-week quarantine. Didn't really know what to expect. It was my first time in Asia, so I was really excited. And I went on YouTube and watched a lot of videos, mainly a lot of the night market videos in Taiwan. But I didn't really know much about the baseball. I'd run across a few players. Jimmy Wong, one of them. I didn't really know the scope of baseball in Taiwan, and then I didn't necessarily know like the influences. Played Team USA, and I believe we might have faced the younger team one time, So that was kind of my experience, extent of my experience as far as understanding baseball in Taiwan and how popular it was. So once I got the opportunity, I was able to do it. It was awesome.
Yeah, and so who did you consult with anybody about Taiwanese baseball? Did you talk to anybody that played here or played in Asia before you came over?
So I was with the Kansas City Royals, and Alex Verdugo, Ryan Verdugo was with the Royals, and he had pitched with the Uni Lions and threw a perfect game, and he was one of my go-to guys. I said, "Hey, man, like, what should I expect? And you know, what's it like? And you know, what's the team like? And everything, the team atmosphere." So he was one of the first guys I went to, and I talked with a few other guys who had been in Korea and Japan, and kind of got their viewpoints on the style of play, because it's different. You know, the way the hitters approach the game and the way pitchers get the guys out is a little bit different than here.
Yeah, so what was your first impressions when you stepped on the mound and you faced the first couple batters, or because you had to be in a dugout for the first week after you come out of quarantine, right? Because of the
Yeah.
7 extra days. So what was your impression of Taiwanese baseball before you even stepped on the mound?
The hitters don't give up. They will battle. A lot of foul balls, and they're fighting off pitches, and they have the grit and tenacity to battle with you. So that was one of the first things I noticed, was to not give in to the hitters in this league, because they will fight for every inch against you. I think that was just one of the things I had to figure out as the season went on. I didn't necessarily have success right away, but as the season went on, I had some more success and was able to adapt. So
Yeah, so one of the things that we noticed about foreign pitchers pitching in Taiwan, especially the first couple of weeks, maybe the first month, is coping with the heat, especially for you guys pitching in Tainan. Every single time, especially in the summer, we see like a couple innings into it, you see like your guys are drenched with sweat and the red face and all of that. So talked about coping with the heat of Taiwan during the summer.
So just to give everybody kind of like insight, before I came to Taiwan, I was in quarantine. And when you're in quarantine, at home and in the US, I just kind of let it go. I had a big beard, had a mullet, had all this stuff going on. And I was in Phoenix, and it's pretty warm in Phoenix, but it's a different, it's the dry heat, they say. So when I got to Taiwan, I tried to be a macho man, and my first three starts, I kept the beard, I kept the mullet, but I wasn't winning games, and I was hot, and it was really hot in Tainan. Come to find out, each city kind of has its own unique weather pattern and temperature pattern, and you can kind of predict what type of day, time of day it's going to be the hottest. And for me, it felt like all day, so I had to make an adjustment, and I cut it all off. So it really helped me, and I think it was a little bit of ego, just trying to pitch with a cool beard and a cool mullet, but I think it was too hot for that. So I was glad I made the change.
I think it was a couple of starts after you came into the CPBL that you had the MVP dance that just went viral on Twitter and on social media. So yeah, obviously you came in and you saw the post game ceremony, the interview, and then the dance. How excited? Because we could see you in the dugout getting very amped up for the dance. How was that experience?
It was great. That was my first one, so I had witnessed it on TV. And in America, you'd usually have like an MVP for like a World Series or like a championship series. It's not like every game there's a MVP, so it's awesome. I was very happy to get that win and get that for the team, and just fortunate enough to have the MVP dance given to me. But I walked up, and they said, "No one's gonna help you. Just dance." Usually they have someone coordinating for the other players, but it was my first one. They just told me to do whatever I wanted, and I only had about 10 seconds of dance moves before it just started to go off the rails there with the mascot. But I had fun nonetheless, and really really enjoyed it, and glad to do it at home, in front of the fans. I think they're excited, and just to have them enjoy it.
Yeah, so how'd you think? So obviously in the CPBL, I noticed this in America where they stop the music, doesn't matter which sport it is, like during the game of play, they stop the music, probably besides the NBA. But like obviously in the CPPL, they blast the music during the at bat, especially when you're on the road. How did you adjust to the atmosphere of it, the music, the dancing of it, and you know, when you're on the sidelines, did you enjoy it?
The first game I watched, we were facing the Brothers, and that was, I mean, I think I didn't realize that, yeah, they play the music the entire time the opposing team is pitching. So it's just trying to get their hitters going. So I just, I don't know. It didn't really get to me. I could see it get to some guys, it kind of speeds them up a little bit here and there, but I enjoyed it. It just, I don't know. It was nice. The crowd kind of gets zoned out, if you're pitching really well, you just focus in on it. But, I don't really speak Taiwanese, so whatever they were saying, it didn't really affect me. But it sounded all positive, hito, hito. It sounded positive. It didn't really sound like they were saying anything negative to me as a pitcher, but I don't know precisely. But I could, in America, it's a little bit quieter, and then you'll have one guy just yell something, and you'll be pitching, and he'll just say, "You suck," or "You're not going to throw a strike." He's going to hit a home run or something. And it's like he kind of eats at you a little bit more. But I was out there kind of singing sometimes in my head. By the second game, all the chants are stuck in your head. You can't sleep at night. It's just running through your head constantly. So it's fun. I enjoyed it.
I've watched, I know exactly, well, I watched a couple, almost all, every game since May 5th, and one of those days, it just sucks in your head, and then you're laying in your bed, and it's like on repeat over and over. So I want to talk about like more on the field stuff too. I want to start with the catcher for the primary catcher, Lin Youlo, who to me seems like the unsung hero of the Taiwan series, because from all the interviews I saw from you guys and all the pitchers, a common theme seemed to be that you guys trust Lignola's leadership behind the plate. You guys trust him giving the signs and all that stuff. So how is it hard your relationship with him, and how good of a leader is he on the field?
It's in the game of baseball, the catcher is just kind of like the captain of the field. He's moving the defense around, and part of it too is he has to keep your pitcher even keeled. There's gonna be some tough situations. A reliever might come into a game and right away there's trouble. So to have a catcher back there is just even keeled all the way, cool as a cucumber, no matter what's happening. He's been there before. He can instill that confidence into you and the defense as well. So he was great behind the plate, and our whole team just did a good job of gelling together in those tough moments, and just rebounding, whether it's a tough at bat rebounding an exit bat, or a tough game in a series, we rebound the next series, and I think that just goes to the camaraderie of the team.
Do you think that's why the Lions are so good at one game playoffs? Because you guys won five elimination games in a row to finish the season.
No, it was crazy. We were just kind of a do or die team this year, and we really stepped our game up whenever we had the chance. And you just give us a little bit of the doorway, we're gonna bust right through. So we really took advantage, and we were really able to keep the other team down. The Brothers, when we faced them the last series, they came out. We won that first game, but man, they came out swinging in defense, and I mean, their young shortstop was amazing. And they had some pretty good moments, but we were able to, kind of brush it off and come back. And I think that's how you won the championship, man. You just got to keep going and fighting. It's a long season. It's a long series, and that's what we did. We just have a lot of great teammates, great players on the Uni Lions.
I want to go back to the first elimination game you won, and the Yinxing Zhuang versus the Fubon Guardians. That you started that game. It was a 123 pitch shutout. That I thought the shutout part was very important to because you guys have another elimination game the day afterwards. But you know that game before the game, even I'm a fan of neither teams at that point, and even I felt the tension of it, and I felt so much tension of it that it made the first hype video of the season. But you knew that you were starting days before, right? It was your first game, I think, in a week. On that day, what was just first of all, tell us about your normal pregame routine and whether that day or the days before that you felt a little bit different coming up to that game.
I have a pretty standard 4 or 5 day routine that I do. It involves some training and timing of training and bullpen sessions and throwing sessions and all that. It's pretty structured as well as I can make it. But what had happened was we got rained out. I don't, I kind of rained the day before, and I'm aware of the game. It's an elimination game. I'm pretty amped for that. But I had a chip on my shoulder. I don't know where it came from, but I think I came out that day before and I just saw the field soaked. The field was completely, I don't know if someone forgot to put a tarp on or it's just how it is, but I felt like it was intentional. Not to say anything. I have no facts whatsoever, but this was just me as a competitor. I just like put this on my shoulder, like chip on my shoulder. I was like, all right, like they're trying to mess with us, like whether it's true or not. But I think some athletes kind of have to go there sometimes, create a little imaginary tension or competition to help them step up to the next level. So I really wanted to get after in that game, and I was very happy with the results of the game. And we played well defensively to keep me in there. And I mean, it was going to take a lot for me to give up the ball to the coach to let anybody else in. So I was pretty focused and determined, and fortunately had a very good game against them, an important game too.
So this is one of the things that I wonder a lot. So you are facing Henry Sosa, who's one of the most dominated pitchers in the CPBL, especially in the second half. As an opposing starter, do you feel more pressure, or do you feel like I can't give up a run early in this game going into the game?
No, I think the main goal is, you don't necessarily use it as a goal, but it's kind of like a mindset. It's like I have to outstand. I have to go longer than their starter goes. As far as the foreigners go, I just noticed that if I was to go out earlier than Sosa, he would win. It would just kind of alter the energy of the game. So I think it. It's important to. Just give it your all and go 100% as long as you can within the game, and to give your a team a chance to win. And I don't think he had lost at home yet either. That shows you how dominant he was all year. So he was a true test, and our team, they just went after him, and they did not back down. Considering everything he had done to us this year during the season, they really stepped up when it mattered, and it really mattered that game. I just so happened to pitch pretty well that day too, so worked out good.
You talked about like going long. After the Lions got the lead in the seventh inning, did you go up to manager Ling Yeping and go, or did the pitching coach Navarro, and did you go like, I'm gonna finish this game, or is it like a mutual understanding?
It kind of coach kind of looks at you. Jamie's, he's great, man. He's man a few words. Just kind of give him a look here and there, and he understands what he's trying to say. So I just had to instill in him that I was confident that I needed to finish this game, and I was going to finish it. And, just send a message, just tell everybody that, hey, man, we're not messing around. We're here to win and do whatever it takes to win. So that's just where my mindset was at.
There are two things I want to like hear your perspective on during that game. The first one is Chen Jiexian's 2-run double. That one, I mean, that swing, it basically is the only swing in the entire game that scored runs. That game was probably the first time I heard that many, like a very loud Lions crowd on the road too. So I mean that must have been exciting too. That place went crazy in the outfield after that 2-run double. How did you see it from the dugout, and what was the dugout like after that double?
I kind of keep my head down, but I know what happened. We were scoring, and I didn't see the hit until after the game. But it's just, man, just guys just stepping up left and right and creating those moments that altered the the path that we were on. And then the crowd there was definitely the loudest crowd I'd seen on the road all year. So that was just something, the start of something magical, and I think that definitely led into the championship series.
Yeah, and second thing was the ninth inning of that game. You're coming in, you're on 100 plus pitches, but you just said like you want to finish that game. The adrenaline's coming in. You know there's an elimination game in the following day, so you want to finish the job. How was how what was in your head in like the final at bat? It was a four pitch strikeout, and then it was a fastball down the middle to finish it. What was your mind? What was going through your mind during the last
Just really slowed down, at last at bat. They'd switched a hitter, pinch hitter. So I hadn't really faced him yet. But I knew I had the advantage in the situation. You always have relatively good advantages as a pitcher, so you just try to stay calm and execute your pitches, let the hitter get himself out. There's two outs, nobody on. So I felt very confident. So I just kind of like soaked in the moment as much as I could, because this is the first time I had done it professionally, been in that situation late in the game like that. So I closed a few games out, but this was special. So I just really took my time out there and enjoyed it. And it just so happened I struck him out, which was even greater, as far as just finishing off the game strong. Felt good, and gave my catcher a big hug, and it was a lot of fun.
And I thought that game changed the momentum for the Lions going into the end of the season and the Taiwan series. And yeah, that's coming off losing to the Guardians the week before, and then things had to happen, and then y'all finished the job, and y'all won the second half, and then eventually the Taiwan series, which is where I want to go to. I want to specifically talk about game six. You started in game six. It was at this after starting game two, I think. Yeah, you're the only pitcher that started both games on the road for the Uni Lions. In game two you gave up a five I think a 4 or 5 run inning, and then that turned out to be one of the turning points of the series at that point. And then you're coming into game six. What was your mentality going to game six? And then did you have a did you when Loyola and the pitching coach and everybody did you come up with a different pitching approach going into game two, going to game six compared to game two?
We had the game two, I think I just tried a little bit hard. Got through the middle lineup there and ran into some trouble, and they're a good team, good offensive team. They really jumped on me. So just kind of understanding where that might occur again, those situations before they start to snowball and get out of hand. My defense made some great plays in that game six. So it's just a combination of all those things. Unfortunately, I didn't pitch well that day. So, that was the bad part of that day. So then you just, next time you go out, you hope to, correct what you did wrong that first time, which I felt like I didn't really execute my pitches that well that first game. So I think that last game, I just focused on executing a little bit better, which I did. And it allowed me to go deeper into the game, give our team a chance to win. And, the energy in that stadium is pretty intense too. So I think a little bit of that might have gotten to me that second game, to where I wasn't as sharp as I normally was. The playoff atmosphere was definitely loud. So that game six, I pictured myself just kind of having success in that. You gotta meditate or focus on it the night before, and you really learn to adapt quickly. I think that's the way to do it. And I essentially got a second chance to face the team I didn't do so well against, to face the team at their place. And so it just felt like a redo for me. So I felt like pretty confident.
There was an article saying that you changed a glove after the throwing error in the third inning. Did that really happen? And like, was it to be to like change the feng shui a little bit?
Yeah, well, I got a Taiwanese, I think it was a Zet glove or something like that. Had my name in Chinese on it, and I just switched it like in the fifth inning, I think one game, and it's like red and it has some really cool logo and stuff on it. I was like, yeah, I like this glove, man. It adds a little like flair energy. So I kind of like that, thinking, you know, I'm gonna close this game off strong, you know, add, you know, just be intense and continue to, you know, move forward with everything.
So after that, you know, after that game, you threw 121 pitches in game six, and then you guys won that game. Before game seven, you know, did you try to do things in pregame that would probably prepare you to throw in game seven?
Not really. I kind of joked that, hey man, if you guys need me to pitch tonight, I can throw some. But I took some batting practice for the game. I said, hey man, if you guys need me to hit too, I might be available for, you know. I just kind of have that mindset of, you know, winning at all costs. You know, whatever it takes, man. We're trying to win, man. Any way we can help, and you know, get us across the line. So, I mean, I'm high-fiving everybody before the game. You know, giving out as much positive vibes as I can, because, you know, I know these guys are going to take it home, and they did, man. They did a great job, and it was an amazing game.
Yeah, and the seventh inning of game seven, you know, the
Yeah.
turning point. I mean, not only was it a turning point, but it was everything was such of a huge. There was such a huge buildup. Every at bat was long. There was long pauses, and then like every second, the intensity just builds and builds and builds. Dykstra was in the bullpen during that inning, and but so he wasn't in the dugout. I wanted to hear what like, I want. What was the atmosphere in the dugout during that inning, and then the tying run, the go ahead run, and then the home run.
Yeah, I mean, well, now that I think about it, I kind of forgotten. But I mean, how many times did the lead change that game? It felt like it was just like back and forth the whole game. It was such a battle and such a long game. I mean, it was just overall a great series, but to be capped off by that game seven, it was just a wild, wild ride. And I think everybody just left it all out in the field. And you know, you get to see that, you know, by the end of the game. And it was awesome to see Teddy and Brock do so well, step up in that situation. Brock to come back on short rest and close out the game like that was huge. And just overall cool moment for the team, for Tainan, you know, everybody involved. You know, they'd kind of been the underdog, especially when I got there. So to finish off the season, continuing to scrap, and we felt like you know, we felt good. Like we just had a lot of energy. And we just felt like we were ready to win this thing. So.
I want to go back to more of a general thing outside of the Taiwan series, and want to ask you so is there an opposite hitter that you know when you're on the mound and you see that hitter coming up to the plate in the CPBL, you just go, oh no, or like it's kind of giving you nightmares about? Do you remember any hitter that you kind of faced?
First baseman for the brothers. What's his name?
Number 74.
Yeah, he's tough, man. He's a great guy too. I didn't really talk to him too. I can't really speak, you know, Mandarin. So, but he was a great guy, great competitor, and someone who, like, you could just tell he lived for those clutch moments. And he had some big hits for them in that series. And he was, I felt like he was a pretty big driving force for that club. You know, he's a pretty stable competitor, and just even keel, you can kind of see it on his face. You know, no situation is too big for him. He was always a tough one.
And you know, you've seen the MLB level. You face some of the best hitters in the world. When you're pitching in the CPBL, did you know, even it can be on your team or like just CPBL in general, you know, is there a player that you saw you went, oh wow, like that guy says the potential to go to maybe try and play in the MLB?
You know, we have a few players on our team. Anka, he can really hit, man. His power is just cool. He had some balls in Tainan that were just missiles. I think he has a really good opportunity. Really powerful hitter, great swing, short, compact. And you know, he knows the game pretty well too. So he's a good player, and I'm glad to see him have success last year. Even though it was like his first year, right, playing a position and hitting. So it was cool to see that guy, and he's got some talent.
Yeah, so did were there player were there any players on the Lions team that came up to you and go like, how is it like pitching in MLB and you know, what does it take to get there and stuff like that?
Everybody is really open to asking questions, and I was excited to tell them. Jaime Navarro, Jaime Navarro, our pitching coach, had been in the big leagues for a long time too, so he had a wealth of knowledge as well. So I mean, pretty much every day we were always having conversations with relief pitchers, starters, whoever, showing grips, and just talking about game situations that might have happened in the past and how we would look at them differently. And it was always fun to kind of share experiences. But it's just, I don't know, it's kind of all the same to me. I think everybody there has a passion for baseball, and they've been doing it for a long time, so you're gonna have some extreme skill sets. And so it's fun to share it.
Yeah, I know it's getting late there in the US, so I won't keep you for that long. Before I let you go, the one thing I do for to all of the guests on the show is what I call FaceTime is I give so the guest gets however much time, 3, 5, 10 minutes, even 20 minutes if you have to talk about one topic that they feel that they need to rant about, because at the end of the day the podcast is called Rants. So
Oh, cool.
it can be on any topic or on anything that you want to talk about. So
Sure.
yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Sure. This is just a big thank you, to the people of Taiwan. A privilege to be able to come there and play baseball, especially with everything going on right now with the COVID-19. So I'm very grateful for Uni Alliance for giving me opportunity, and the people of Taiwan for doing such a good job with containing the virus and to allow us to have a baseball season this year. So I think it was important. I think it spread a lot of joy. Especially with a lot of unfortunate things going on in the world, this was a very, very good thing for sports in general. And I was just really happy to be a part of it, and just very grateful to the people of Tainan for kind of hosting me. And our team was amazing to make me feel welcome. Translators, the clubhouse guys and bullpen catchers, teammates, everybody, coaches, just did a very, very awesome job making me feel at home, and all I had to worry about was play baseball. So that's something I can't really complain about. It was a great time. I really enjoyed it, and just very happy to bring the championship home for the city of Tainan and the players as well. I was only there for a short amount of time, but I really, really realized how much they love the game, and they love the Uni Lions, and they just love the win. So just very happy to be a part of it, and it's definitely a memory I'll take with me forever. I had some really cool experiences, made a lot of friends, got to eat some amazing food at the night markets. So all that stuff was awesome, and very happy to take those memories with me back to the United States and to share my experience with my friends and family. And who knows, maybe I'd be back soon and bring some friends along with me and have some fun again.
So, what's your favorite food in the night markets that you had?
I really like the little and they told me the name, but I forgot about it. The little egg wraps. They're kind of like crepes,
Oh
little egg crepes,
yeah.
onion egg crepe. Might be like
Oh,
a
okay. Yeah, is
yeah
it
just kind of rolled up, a little hot sauce. Very
Yeah.
good.
Do you like the stinky tofu?
Sticky tofu is amazing. The fried one, not the soup, not the soup one. The fried one is pretty good. I had it a few times, and I had to take it easy. Every once in a while, the sticky tofu. Not every night, but every so often, I'll have a few bites of
Were you part of the lobbying team to get Teddy and Brock to have the sticky tofu as well?
I got Teddy to take it. I don't think Brock ate it, but I got Teddy to eat some. So I told him everybody eats it. It's really good. And
Did he like it? Did you know?
I think he tolerated it, but
Well, there's a video on Tim Melville's YouTube channel that has him and his buddies trying out some stinky tofus back in July, And make sure to subscribe to his YouTube channel as well. And thank you, Tim, for coming on Rants with Danny Shi. It's been a pleasure having you on. Thank
Glad
you
to be
for
on. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for what you've done for the CPBL and the Uni Alliance. And hopefully we'll have you back in Taiwan in the near future.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Tim, once again for coming on the show. And for the last couple of months, probably the entire CPBL season had been a magical ride for the podcast, having professional pitchers on, former MLB and former CPBL pitchers on the show, Darren Downs, Bruce Billings, Brock Dykeshorn, and then Tim Melville. I think I probably missed a couple, it had been an absolute dream come true in the last year. Going forward, I don't know what I'm really going to do. I think it's time to hop off the CPBL bandwagon, I don't think there's that much things to talk about other than the CPBL college basketball starting. So Vic Schaefer's era at Texas inaugurated, and maybe we'll talk about that. Texas football, I mean, it is what it is. And so I might talk about that, but going forward, I really, again, I'm at a loss because I never really planned this stuff ahead. And thank you guys for tuning into this episode of Rants with Danny Shi. And next week, hopefully I'll be back. I'll talk to you guys later.